Arsenal are in a difficult situation. They've just dropped points to Aston Villa at home. We were all having a bit of banter in the group chat. One voice who was silent was Jacob. You didn't feel too good, mate.
I'll turn my phone off. The feeling in that stadium yesterday, I haven't felt anything like it all season. It was a...
Did you leave early? Did you?
Were
you
no, I didn't. I tell you what, I fucking wish I had. I was saying to my mate, I was like, let's go for a curry now, please. I look at the game yesterday. We fucking battered them first half. We battered them first half. We should have been 2, 3, 4 goals up at half time. And I'm watching chances fall to players like Leandro Trossard, who you've been sat here all season, Josh.
You've been
saying he should be starting ahead 100%. Of Martinelli. And I tell you what, yesterday he fucking was.
Why wasn't Martinelli starting over him?
Because Martinelli's got 6 league goals and he's got 14 in all competitions this season. Because we're in the business end of the season. Martinelli's 22 years old, coming back from an injury. Trossard has just scored a great goal against Bayern Munich in the week. And you go, right, play the adults, play the form players. And guess what? The adults let us down yesterday.
9 out of 10 times Trossard would have had a goal yesterday.
He would have had a goal yesterday.
Eddie Martinez pulled off an unbelievable.
Do you miss him?
Do I miss him?
Yeah. He's actually quite a good goalkeeper, isn't he?
Amy Martin is.
Yeah.
Mate, I'm not going to sit here and start doing...
He's pretty good.
No, let's do it. Do you miss Emery?
That wasn't a good save, by the way.
With his foot?
Trossard. No.
I thought that as a...
No. It was a good save, but they showed it. Like, the amount of the goal he had to actually put in. True. It was
when
like...
When you miss a chance from inside the 6-yard box, it doesn't matter what the keeper does, you've missed.
80% of the goal was
over. He hasn't saved.
It's like the Nunes one yesterday. It's like... He absolutely puts his laces through it, which is what you asked to do, but when you're that close.
That's our first loss in 12 games.
Yeah.
Since the start of the season, and by the way, within those 12 games we played Liverpool, beaten, we've gone to the Etihad, got a draw. Like, we've been fucking brilliant. I can't sit here and state that team. We've been fucking excellent. What did we do? After our first quarterfinal in Champions League in 12 years' time, we come back and we lose to the fourth best team
in the
league.
Didn't we say, though, when we were talking a week or two ago, Arsenal, when the quarterfinal comes, you're worried about.
And that's what I said to you. Yeah, I said to you that. I said, you know what? As good as we've been this calendar year, 2024, I do think a big part of that is we haven't had 2 games a week without. Even when we've had 2 Premier League games in a week, we look better in the Premier League. Something changes with us when we go into the Champions League. We look young, we look inexperienced, and we look a little bit rattled. I think they looked a little bit rattled yesterday, but I can't sit here and slaughter that team. And what I fucking hate is these people on the internet who are taking this as their opportunity to go, and this is the problem with Arteta, and this is the... It's like, what the fuck have you been watching for the last 4 months? Mm. I'm really sorry. What more can you ask for over the last 4 months? Over the course of a season, I've got criticisms of the guy. I've got criticisms of the substitutions yesterday. He said that Martin Ødegaard had a problem, right? He said, yeah, Ødegaard had a problem. That's why I had to take him off. I will never understand that substitution. And he might have had a problem. He didn't look like he did.
No.
Most of that game, he was the best player on the pitch. Mm. I don't know much about sports science, right? I didn't do my BTECs, but the point is, I don't know how much difference 15 minutes at the end of a game really makes. Can you not keep him on? There was other players on that pitch who...
You take him off, it's 0-0.
And then you take him off, and within fucking 10-15 minutes, we're 2-0 down.
Wait, who are you talking about?
Oh, you took Odegaard off.
Yeah, insane.
Took Odegaard off, and then 10 minutes later, they're 2-0 down.
Insane.
With Odegaard, it's not just his ability to create chances and score goals, it's the intensity you lose on the pitch, the pressure.
He's the skipper.
Mate, he's more than just the skipper. He's the heartbeat of that team. He's the manager on the pitch.
Are you criticising Arteta for that move?
Yeah,
then?
I am. And by the way, welcome to how actually like fans should fucking talk. You can criticise a manager without being Arteta out.
Of course.
He's a young manager. He's in his first jobs. He's making mistakes. He's making less mistakes this season than he has prior. He's still making mistakes. For me, that was a mistake. If I'm really honest, if I've got one takeaway from yesterday, when I look at the pitch, when I look at the players on the pitch, I remember another thing I said to you guys at the start of this calendar year. I said, if we're going to win this, one of those attacking players needs to put a cape on his back. And I was looking at the pitch yesterday and I saw Gabby Jesus, who, by the way, in the media this week has said he can't remember the last time he played football without pain. And he's saying he's not going to be able to make the Copa America because he needs surgery again. That'll be the third time he's had surgery on the same injury. Am I making excuses? Not really.
Can we also clarify?
No, he is making excuses.
Regardless, you've got the same amount of Premier League goals this season as Fabian Shaw, the Newcastle centre-back.
Well, Gabriel Jesus.
Both great players.
He stinks.
Both great players.
But I guess what I'm saying is, I'm also looking at Gabriel Martinelli. I think he's got 6 Premier League goals. When he had 15 the season before, he's had a duff season. Kai Havertz, everyone's saviour. I think you're going to tell me that he's on the same amount of goals as Jackson.
Oh my God. What? Do you know what? I was watching him yesterday. I thought, what a performance as well. I was really enjoying it.
He played so well.
Do you know what? I was really glad he moved into centre mid as well, because that's his position.
No, it's not. Looking across the front line, Havertz, he got put through by Zinchenko four times yesterday. And by the way, there's people I sit next to who were trying to send Zinchenko to fucking Ukraine to fight in a war. They were so pissed off of him yesterday. And yet he still created four clear-cut openings for Kai Havertz, all of which were wasted. And then I look at Bukayo Saka, right? Same amount of goals and assists as player of the season Phil Foden this year. But do you know the difference between Phil Foden and Bukayo Saka? What did Phil Foden do this week? He sat down. Bukayo Saka's fucked. We're playing him into the ground. And if I've got one criticism of Arteta, I'm watching a player who plays in your team, Raheem Sterling, 29 years old, and he looks like my fucking dad chugging around that pinch.
So true. I've been saying it all season.
He's looking at flights to Miami to get to the MLS. Yeah. He's ruined. He played too much football at the start of his career. And we're going to break Saka. I'm telling you right now, we're going to break.
It's another make a lawn situation.
He's fucked. He's broken. It's like, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, he fucking limps off the pitch every time he has a bad game.
He nailed that.
He limps on the pitch when he has a bad game. He's been limping since the fucking first minute. Yes, he's not fit.
So then why does he keep playing him?
Because we were stupid enough to start this season with three wingers: Gabriel Martinelli, Bukayo Saka, and Reece Nelson.
You've got Trossard's there as well.
Trossard's not a winger, man. He's played a false nine more frequently.
Got rid of Pepe as well at the start of the season.
Yeah, listen, what's Pepe done this year, mate? The thing I look at,
could have done with him.
This time last year, January last year, we matched your offer for Mudryk, right? Yeah. We looked at a Mudryk, and by the way, I'm not saying I want him. I'm saying that last season, we were willing to throw 80 million euros at a Mudryk because we went, we need another fast winger. Mm. And for some reason, we forgot about that come the summer.
Yeah, if you're willing to part with 80 million, it's because there's desperation.
There's desperation. For
Arsenal, that's a massive amount of money. So to all of a sudden be like, no, we don't need that anymore. I don't get it.
Remember, though, you have spent a lot of money. I know you're talking about key areas in general, but I think that when you've brought in, let's say, for example, even Declan Rice, he's been unreal this season, right? I don't think he would have took a very brave man to bet that Granit Xhaka would be finishing the season after leaving Arsenal with more silverware than Declan Rice. By the way, scored a screamer the other day.
Put Declan Rice in the Bundesliga. He walks away with some trophies, right? And there's not many Englishmen who can say that, Craig, but I will say. I just want to be really clear. I'm not saying we haven't spent money. We've spent as much money as anyone in the last couple of years. Mm. The point is, it's the allocation of resources. And I sometimes look at how did we need to spend 80 million quid on a winger 18 months ago, and someone's forgot about that, and we're starting a season with Reece Nelson.
Can I be the antagonist, though, please?
I think you'd like to be the antagonist.
Let me be the antagonist that everyone expects me to be, right? Let's bring it back to Arteta. So Arteta has been getting a bit of a reputation over the years for being a bit of a bottle job, right? This is what some people are levelling at him, all right?
Definitely not you.
No. Or any of us here.
Two seasons ago, pole position for top four Champions League, okay? End up squandering it. Who gets the top four? Spurs. Then we move on to last season where top of the league, majority of the season, were they top at Christmas? Top at Christmas. The whole season, 5 points clear, squanders it.
93% of the time, by the way.
93% of the season. Mm. And then we get to this season, the 23-24 season. Were Arsenal top at Christmas again? Were they top at Christmas? They were top at Christmas again, right?
I think so.
Loads of points allocated. They were top at Christmas, yeah.
Loads of points allocated.
Loads of points allocated.
We won the points. We didn't get allocated.
Let's give Arsenal those.
You got allocated them, to be fair.
Okay, that's great. So my point is, right, if Arsenal, because we're seeing this now, he just said it, from the beginning of January till now, they've gone on this amazing run of not losing games. But this is the business end of the season. You're better off losing in January or February when the pressure's not on and when you don't, you know, you want to get all points in every game, but when it's not imperative that you deliver. Right now is the business end. This is when it shows balls of steel. How's your nerves? This is when you have to deliver. This is when high level athletes have to perform. It's called being clutch. And if you're not a clutch manager and if you're not a clutch player, you will fold. That's why I kept saying all season, and it isn't over yet, but this is why I kept saying to everyone on this table, Pep Guardiola and these players, and we can do the cheating thing, the points, that's all of that's great, but all we can deal with is what's here right now. These are clutch players. This is a clutch manager. And when it's all said and done, they will deliver. Now, I could say all of this right now, and Arsenal could go on and win the league. And if they do, props to them. It shuts me up. Arteta shuts everyone up. But as it stands right now, you playing against Aston Villa and losing in the manner you did, 2-0 at home, not even a goal. And on top of that, I'll be real, when I watched the game, Arsenal were on top in the first half. They were going amazing. But the second half was very much Aston Villa's half. And not just that, I feel like Emery did a job on Arteta yesterday when I look at the game. Like, you actually look at the stats and how everything lines up. It was a very, very tight game.
Question for
you. It was very tight.
Was it extra painful to have Unai Emery be the man who was deemed not good enough to be the one to stop a title challenge?
Potentially. Well, it's, yeah, it's 6 points. Six
or does
points.
It not matter?
Oh, he took 6 points. They did a double.
They done a double.
That was personal for Emery. That was
Michael Jordan.
It felt personal because I tell you what, they fucking rolled over and had their bellies rubbed a couple of weeks ago against Manchester City. I remember that.
And now, a word from our sponsors. Right, we are putting a accumulator on Stakemate on the kickoff this weekend. And the beauty of Stakemate is you can have a little group feature with you and all your mates in where you can all put a few quid in, put an accumulator on together and build it together, and then you all win together. We've created our own little kickoff group. Josh, who do you fancy this weekend, mate?
So Aston Villa have got Bournemouth. I think that's pretty easy for Villa to get the result, so I'm going to go with the home win.
My pick for who to back this weekend is going to be Luton at home to Brentford. I think Luton are going to stay there or thereabouts and still be in with a chance of survival on the final day, and I look at their fixtures, this is one of the more winnable ones.
I'm looking at West Ham away at Crystal Palace. As much as I actually think it could go either way, the odds are pretty good for West Ham, so I'm going to jump on that one.
Yeah, that really puts the odds right up, doesn't it?
Yeah, I like that one. I think both of those teams, you know, win one, lose one. Palace have just won. West Ham have just lost. It makes perfect sense.
And in terms of the other big games, we got Liverpool and Arsenal looking in a bit of stress at the moment. Arsenal playing Bayern Munich midweek. Then they've got Wolves away. I don't mind Wolves getting a draw out of that.
I don't mind that at all. And do you know what? It would be easy just to lump on Arsenal here, wouldn't it?
I think that when you look at that one of those two teams in Arsenal or Liverpool, in my opinion, are going to drop some points. When I'm looking at it, I think Arsenal coming back from Germany and then going away at Wolves have got the harder game. I don't think they'll get beat, but I think that could be a draw there.
The odds right now, 76-1, lads. Not bad. So with what we've put on as a group, it's £1,147 returned. If we win big. And if you and your mates want to do this, it's simple. Even idiots like us can do it. All you've got to do is click the link in the description below and use TKO5 as the code, and you'll get a free £5 bet when you download the app. And don't forget, you must be over 18, living in the UK, and always gamble responsibly. But for now, enjoy the video.
You got to go away to Bayern Munich. Then you got to go away to Wolves. Now, I was thinking back to that little predicting the running video we did. You were quite nervous about that Wolves game. Wolves away is by no means an easy game.
Especially off the back of Bayern Munich away match.
And if things don't go well, if you drop points against Wolves, then you got Chelsea and Spurs. Chelsea
and Man United, right?
Chelsea, they're in there.
Yeah.
Chelsea could potentially, but the thing is, Man United are so far in the future, it could be done by then.
Yeah.
Chelsea, there's a possibility here. Now, maybe Arsenal come back strong. Maybe they get a result over in Munich and it buoys them and they really push on. But there's a chance that Chelsea could pretty much finish your season. Spurs could mathematically do it by that point.
I know, that would be sweet, the nail in the coffin. That would be, because they won the league up front, that would be sweet.
And I don't want to, not rubbing salt in the wounds, I just think it's important that you know. I just think it's important that you know that. Mate, so between me and Craig, one of our teams is probably going to end it for you now.
Fuck this. Do you know what? I was a comedian, 9 years, happy, fucking good times. Bit of
do you know,
the country, then you do a couple of fucking videos about Arsenal on the internet. You end up sat next to a Spurs fan who's got a fucking Guardiola poster above his bed. Sat here and I was sat there.
And in my bathroom.
I think you make the right point, Joe, about what's coming up now. And for me, I don't think the title race is over. I'll give us 10% chance, 1 in 10. But listen, I'm a football fan. You have to hold on to that.
You got to win every game, right?
You have to win every game.
There's no more draws.
And I thought we'd drop points once. What fucks me off is if you can't win, don't lose. And that's what really pisses me off yesterday. If you're not going to score a goal, and I think after that first half, I was looking at my mate and I was going, you know what? I don't think Emi Martinez wants to concede a goal today. Then close the fucking back door. You're the best defence in Europe. Just don't
Though you subbed Jorginho on, like it did look like he was trying to just get a bit of control in the game.
I know what you mean. I've got to be honest with you. I start to look at some of the players we brought on yesterday and I start to question their quality long term. And I'm not talking about Jorginho there, by the way, because I think Jorginho has been absolutely fucking excellent for us this season. I remember 18 months ago when we got Jorginho and we'd been bidding for Caicedo. And I thought, you know what, this actually might be shrewd. And I think it's been really fucking shrewd what Jorginho's given us. There's other players that came on yesterday. I look at Tomiyasu. He's been at us 3 years now. He had 6 months where he was great and 2.5 years where he'd been injured and never got back to the level. We could talk about Zinchenko all day, about the trade-off you get between what he gives you on the ball and off the ball. And I'll tell you what, there was an article in The Athletic, and I know there's a lot of viewers who like to tick off something on a bingo card every time I mention my Athletic subscription, and I just want to say I don't actually pay. I've got a paywall, but
I pay for mine.
There was an article basically where they interviewed every opposition manager. They were like, what's it like playing Arsenal? They went, oh, it's relentless. They press you. They do this, they do that. But the one thing every single one of them said, the way to get at them is the left-hand side of their defence. And I'm not making excuses about injuries, but Yuri and Timber would have been our first choice left-back, ACL first day of the season. And I'm sat here now, 6 games to go in the Premier League, everyone telling me we've got the best defence in Europe. I cannot tell you who our left-back is. I can't, because there's something wrong with all of them. So I think the difference, what we have to do now is, I watched us get slapped last season. And by the way, it was the exact same day in the calendar year that we drew to Liverpool this time last year. And it just started rotting. Then it was West Ham. Then we lost at home to Brighton. We lost to Forest. And we just fucking fell apart. What we have to do now is win every game, keep the pressure on City and go, you know what, City, if you want to win this title, you have to be spotless.
Do you know, that's the problem. That's the problem there, right? You said that you believe City will drop points.
I think they will, but I don't know if they'll lose, and that's the question.
They might drop points. I will definitively say right now, both Arsenal and Liverpool are dropping more points, and that's the problem.
Do you think we drop again? Do you think we drop points again?
Can I put a question to the table just to sort of put a pin on it? Liverpool or Arsenal, if City do drop points, who's more likely to catch?
Arsenal.
To catch City, okay, can I add a caveat in there? So is it Liverpool or Arsenal who are going to win it if City don't? I think it completely depends on what happens on Wednesday. I think if we go out the Champions League, I'm saying Arsenal. If we're still in this Champions League and I'm still watching, and we've got to do 2 semi-finals against City whilst going to Tottenham, whilst going to Old Trafford, fucking no way. Yeah, no way.
Fixtures that make it, it's weird because Liverpool don't have the form. They just look like, you know, that. Well, we've seen the last few games. They don't look like they're at it, and it looks like it's just getting worse. Arsenal, all right, they had a bad game, but they still look like a great team, but they got hard fixtures.
Even against Bayern Munich, Arsenal looked really good in that game. Like,
we look good at playing, but we look shaky.
You look naive and you look a bit lacking in experience, which is obviously Bayern's strong point. Even the shit as their league form is, they're like, this is what we do. We're in the Champions League every fucking year. They got the record for most quarterfinal appearances in a row or something like that. But you still look good. It still gave me confidence in the club. The part of me wonders, as much as I completely makes sense that, you know, if you have all these games, it's going to be harder. But mentally, if you're still in that Champions League and you're feeling like, yes, we are an elite group of players, I don't know if that would actually help you in some way.
I kind of hear you. It's just the evidence I've seen all season of us playing in Europe, then playing in the Premier League. We look like a different team.
And that game in particular, the second leg is going to be draining, that game. Emotionally, physically, what's on the line. And even if you get over the line, it will give them confidence. Obviously, you went away and beat Bayern Munich, but that's going to take a lot out.
And then Wolves
away Saturday night.
Is there the potential of extra time in this game and penalties as well?
Yeah.
Because it's a draw. Yeah. So you could even end up doing 120 minutes
probably
plus
will.
Injury time against Bayern Munich and then have to go and play Wolves away.
Yeah. That Wolves game's the test. And to be really honest with you, Wednesday's Champions League against Bayern Munich. I'm not going to chastise the team either way, whatever happened Wednesday, because we look young, naive in that competition. And you know what? We're going to be in that competition again next year. We go again. That's fine. Saturday night is the one for me. I just don't want to see us crumble. Wolves. That
the worst situation you could have is that you go 120 minutes with Bayern Munich, two penalties, go out, and then have to go and play on that Saturday against Wolves. That would be horrible.
But this is what I'm saying. If we do that and then go to Wolves and get a result,
you don't care.
It's not that I don't care. I'm never going to not care. I'm never going to forget how I felt in that stadium yesterday.
It's about last season. It's about progress.
It's showing progress. And that for me would be progress. Even if we finish second in the league, even if we go and drop points to Spurs, even if we draw Spurs away, if we draw at Old Trafford, to do that Wolves game and keep the pressure on, because last year we crumbled. Last year we ran the race with them and we got to the final hurdle, we fell, and rather than getting up again and staying running, we just kept fucking falling. And that's what happened when you pipped us to top four.
This is the problem for you. You know why this means so much to you, though? It's about the future, and it's about what's like you always say, mate, what's repeatable from the past. And for me, if Arteta's team crumbles two seasons in a row in identical fashion, then there's a huge black mark on Arteta.
Technically, three.
I get it, but I think, to be fair to him, in the first top four race, everyone was crumbling and it was like a hot potato and it was just like, who's the least bad? But for me, as long as you, like you say, as long as he comes back strong now and pushes Arsenal on to at least keep the heat up on City, you are saying, all right, there's growth there. They were outgunning us this season. If you get an Alexander Isak next season, as a lot of people think, all of a sudden, it's massively rumoured, Arsenal are really now something different again. Yeah. And you've put things right. All right, you didn't win the league. I think there's a lot of growth being shown there. If you collapse again, huge worries.
Well, this is what I was going to ask you. Let's just say hypothetically, right? You lose to Bayern Munich, you go out.
Yep.
And then you lose to Wolves. So basically you're out of both in 1 week, right? Because we see that in football, a week of death, right?
Yeah.
What does that mean for Arteta? What does that mean for Arteta in your mind now? 4.5 seasons into his tenure, one FA Cup right at the beginning of his tenure, which was pretty much not his team. 4.5 years down the line now, what would that mean for Arteta in the bigger scheme of things at Arsenal for you? Because it's obvious he's made them a great team, but...
I don't have a but. I'm sorry, I don't. I'm not going to sit here and question the man. Before he came in, no, I'm not. Before he came in, I was talking to my mate, and we were looking at like clubs like Leeds, and we were going, "Wow, you really can be a big club and fall." And that looks like what we're doing. I was looking at the players on the pitch, and I was going, "I'll keep four of them. Mm-hmm. I'll keep four of them, and the other 20 can fuck off in this squad." That's where we were. What this man's brought us. Like, I can't compare it. I can't compare it. And I'm really sorry. I know that fan culture, you're supposed to have a bad week and then go, yeah, if he loses the next two, fuck him off. We need to get, like, no. He's I'm sorry.
Subscribe.
Yeah. There you go. That's it, isn't it? What I will say, I think he speaks a lot about this being a 5-year project and next year is year 5. And by the way, his contract's up at the end of next year. And so by the end of next year, Saliba's going to have 2 years left. And Saliba's going to be looking at a Real Madrid project that's got a lot of young French players who are doing a lot of good things. Saka is going to have 2 years left on a contract. And he's going to be looking at Arsenal and he's going to be going, you know what? I'm supposed to be this prodigial guy. I'm supposed to be the future. I wear number 7 for England. I need trophies. I think what the reason I've been a bit angsty this season, there's been people around me at Arsenal going, it's all right, we're playing really well. Look at the XG chart. Look at this. Look at that. We've got the best... I do think, and I'm not saying that I'm going to switch up on the manager, but I do think that there is a clock ticking where we need to get some trophies, because squads don't stick together that long. Yeah. Squads don't. Just traditionally, they don't. Yeah. You need trophies to keep squads together. We got great young players. We've got players like Martin Erdegaard. We've got players like Declan Rice. Declan Rice joining us this summer was fucking huge.
Yeah.
Like a year or two ago, you would have never seen a player like that go to Arsenal. And that is credit to this manager. He's put us in that position where one of the best holding midfielders in the world wants to come to us when he could go anywhere else. Well, he could go to Man City. Mm. He chose us. I'm not questioning this manager because we owe him all of that. He put the squad together. He's put the playing style together. He's put us where we are. And I tell you what, he picked us up when Emery had left us in mid-table with older players on fucking crazy contracts that we had to rip up. Say we get to the end of next season. Say we don't get any trophies this year. Say we don't get any trophies next year. The guy who comes in even if we have Saliba looking elsewhere, he's got a fucking easier job than Arteta did, and that is all down to Arteta.
Do you know what?
Before we go on with this, lads, because we do have to talk about other topics, I just want to wrap it up. I just want to wrap it up because quickly, I was talking to the Newcastle lads yesterday on WhatsApp, and they all agreed, like, Liverpool losing Klopp, potentially Salah, Van Dijk, they're a much more likely club to drop out of this title race next season. Arsenal, we feel like, are there to stay. And if they do sign Isak, basically, they've got a hell of a chance. However, this season, I just want to vote from all of you before we round this one up. If City do slip now that they're in pole position, who is the team that catches them? Because we kind of did before. So you said
Arsenal.
I'm going to go Arsenal, but I'm going to just reiterate that caveat that Champions League scares me. Okay. And basically, I think if we get past Bayern Munich, I'm going to look at the Champions League as a more likely trophy, because I think we can do City over two legs. And whoever's on the other side of that tournament, be it Barcelona or Atletico, I think we can do that.
Yeah.
If we're still in the Champions League, I worry about our Premier League hopes. If we go out of the Champions League...
It's one or the other, I feel.
It's one or the other, basically, yeah.
John? I have a weird feeling that Liverpool are going to be able to turn that European game around, and they're going to focus more on Europe because they will see that as an easier way to
achieve.
That's what I think.
I'd go Arsenal as well. I agree.